So I grew up listening to 80s rock and roll, 80s rock. Anybody else? Little Van Halen, little Scorpions, little Poison. Come on, Def Leppard. I was starting in fifth grade. I started to learn to play the drums, so I love to play the drums to this music. It's pretty simple beats, but just like guitars and drums. And so I was in my bedroom just jamming out to, Hysteria. Come on. And I wouldn't listen to the lyrics, though. I wasn't interested in the lyrics. I couldn't really understand the lyrics. I didn't care. I loved the music. I was just like, ah. And so I played the drums to that music and loved that music. But then got disconnected from it until Spotify came back out with all this music available. Just click a button, and all of a sudden, here's all this music. And so I started listening to it when I work out or ride my mountain bike. And a few weeks back, I was just on my bike going through the woods, just cruising, and I was listening, whatever it was. And I started listening to the lyrics, and I was like, these are terrible. These lyrics are terrible. They are just grossly immoral, demeaning towards women. I mean, just so many ugly things about these lyrics. And I had the choice. Do I want to continue to listen, to absorb that? It's not what I believe. It's not what I endorse. It's not what I think. And so, do I want to continually feed my mind and my heart with things that I don't adhere to, that I think, and frankly, is really opposed to God's word? And that was a choice I had to make. And I was confronted with that. On one hand, I love the music. I'm like back in ninth grade, I'm like, But on the other hand, like, do I really want to keep feeding myself content that is ugly and not true and is just not what I believe? And so I have that choice. And really, it doesn't matter if it's music or what, we all have a choice to receive words. When words come at us, we have a choice to, number one, receive them and believe them. And then secondly, to live our life based on those words. And frankly, we are bombarded on a daily basis with hundreds, if not thousands, of messages, words that come at us. And we're making these choices instantaneously, subconsciously, to hear things and then to make that choice. Do I believe that? Do I receive that? And then am I going to live my life based on that thing that I just heard? It's a choice that we make. And after a while, you can make that choice. You know what? I don't want to hear that anymore because I don't want to keep going through that cycle anymore. Maybe there's people in your life that you need to just block or unfollow or not answer the call or whatever it is, because every time they talk to you, it's words coming at you that just depress you. Ah, you make a choice. I'm going to stop listening to that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm making a choice to stop letting these words come in because I'm struggling with that decision-making process. I don't want to have to keep processing, like, is that true? Do I need to know that? Is that information that I need? And then living, making decisions based on words. We do this all the time. Every one of us do this all the time. We are receiving messages and deciding, do I believe it? Do I receive it? And then am I going to live based on these words? For the last 3 months, I've been trying to tell people and telling myself that we really need to be careful with how much media we listen to, how much news we watch, how much Facebook we are on, how much Twitter, all these different outlets that are just piping out words, 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 words. All these words are coming at us. And when we're in this social media generation, or even TV generation, where, you know, used to be like preachers would talk about the TV generation. We just flip channels. Now it's so fast. Messages. Stop, play. No, keep going. Our brain is continually doing that. And so during the heat of the quarantine, I was listening to, receiving, watching so much news, and I was being overwhelmed by it, and I began to receive that news, and I began to live my life on that news, and the reality was is that most of it wasn't news. Most of it wasn't fact. It was a sliver of fact with a whole lot of commentary wrapped around it. And I was choosing to receive and believe and act on or live my life based on all these words coming at me that weren't actually fact. There was little tiny facts, but then all the experts and all the predictions and all the things that everybody has their opinions and blah, blah, blah. You know, they have to fill up time. So let's just keep talking about the same little fact. And let's make assumptions, and let's make predictions, and let's give our opinions, and over and over and over, and we hear it. So finally what I did a couple months ago was I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to keep just being bombarded with these words, these messages. I'm not going to do that anymore. Instead, every day at 4 o'clock, I'm going to read the news. I'm thinking like they've had all day to figure this out. They've had all day to figure out what the facts are. And so I'm going to get on two or three different news sources and look at all the different facts. What are actual facts and what's opinion? And I begin to train my mind to go, that's opinion. That's not fact. And then if there is a fact there, whether I like it or not, I want to verify it, you know, is this true? Is this other people saying this? And then just dealing with that, making that decision. And so I was very strict about it, and it was amazing how when you turn off, block so much of those words that are coming at you, how much more peace. And go outside and take a hike and see the trees that are unfazed by all the words that are coming out, and the birds are chirping, and the sun is shining, and the water feels refreshing, and just all that kind of stuff. It's just amazing when we start thinking about the words that we're hearing, that we're believing, and that we're living our life based on. So words are not just risky when they're false, though. Sometimes there are negative words that come at you that are true. They are fact, but they're not what you want to hear. And those are tough. Those are tough to hear, to receive words that are true that you don't want to hear. So how do we deal with that? How do we deal with words that come at us that are not true and we're believing them and living on them? But then how do we receive words that are true, but they're tough to hear and we don't want to hear them? After Corona, Corona's not over, but at the end of the big height of Corona is the big topic of racism. And it's something that's been going on in this country for 500 years, since the 1500s. And to this day, there's issues happening in every state and everywhere of people that are suffering from racism. And many, many, many parts of that are the words that are coming out. Words, 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 words. When we hear those words, they impact what we believe. They impact how we act. And what I was saying Wednesday night, if you haven't heard it, is that as a kid myself, I began to hear words from my race about other races, Hispanic and black, that were ugly, and they were not true. But they're in coming in at a very formative age in my life. Words coming in, coming in. I had to learn how to deal with, am I going to believe those words? Am I going to receive those words? And then am I going to reproduce the actions that these words have meant to other people? And so that's heavy. But the bigger question is, here we are now, today, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the words that come at us, words that hurt us? The other day, Erica was talking to a family member about Kennedy finishing 15 years of the public school grind, you know, of this day in, day out. She was 3 years old when we started her in public school because she's in the ECI program. She has special needs and profound special needs. And so, you know, I was putting her on the bus before the sun came up. Many times in the dark, she would get on the bus, send her to school. Amazing, amazing teachers and helpers were helping her with therapy, occupational, physical, speech therapy, how to communicate with computers and devices with, you know, that could track her eye gaze to make decisions. Or then we had switches where she would move her head and she would toggle through options with one switch and then select an option with the other switch and just begin to, you know, learn how to communicate, make choices, yes or no questions and answers, and just year in, year out. And so she's 18. This is her final year to be in public school system. And so she was talking to him about that, and we just celebrated her finishing school at church last weekend, and she kind of got done with that statement, and he says, well, she didn't really graduate, and words pummeled Erica's heart. She didn't really graduate. She didn't really do anything. And Erica was crushed. She came home that night. She told me that. And I was upset as well. And words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't know who came up with that. It's not true. I think it's like positive thinking. Words are not going to hurt me. And you can try that route. You can try that positive thinking route, but there's a better way. There's a better way than that. We hear the words. We have a choice to believe them and receive them. We have a choice to live on them. There was a man in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, that was struggling with words. He was reading them from the Bible, and he couldn't figure them out. He was an Ethiopian that was super high up in the government. He was the treasurer. And so he had a lot of authority in Ethiopia. He was in Israel, in Jerusalem, celebrating a religious ceremony. And now he was on his way back to Africa in his chariot. And he wasn't driving the chariot. He was in the back or the side. This was a big chariot. Somebody else was driving. And this Ethiopian was reading the Bible, trying to figure it out. And thankfully, an angel speaks to a man named Philip and tells Philip, go down the road to Gaza. So thankfully, the Lord understands and knows that there's a need. The angel speaks to Philip, and Philip decides to obey the angel. And so he just takes off. He doesn't know why he's going there. But the angel said to go, I'm going to go. So Philip is jogging down the road to Gaza, and he looks over, and there's a chariot coming along. And so Philip starts jogging by the chariot. Hey, what's going on? Oh, I'm just reading the Bible. What are you reading? I'm reading Isaiah. Do you know what it means? And the Ethiopian says, no, I don't. I don't know what it means. I need someone to help me with these words. I need somebody to help me with these words. Let me just say, we all need people to help us with words. We need people in our life that can listen to the words with us, that can help us process words and understand, are they true, are they not? And then the next step is, are we going to receive them and believe them or not? Are we going to live on these words or not? So whether that's you're reading the Bible or you hear a sermon or you hear something on the radio or the news or a doctor's diagnosis or whatever word is coming to you, you need other people in your life that can help you discern those words and figure them out. Pray with you about those words. Help you decide what the next step would be. Sometimes it is, hey, this is nothing but a load of mess. You don't need to listen to it. Let's get away from those words. Let's block those words. Sometimes it may be, oh man, these words are tough to hear, but they're the truth. We got to deal with them. How do we deal with them? Well, let's walk together on this. When Erica came home and told me about the words from this family member, I was there to help her. Initially, I didn't want to help her in a biblical way. I wanted to help her in a very physical way. I wanted to drive over there and hurt him. But after a couple days, I began to say, Lord, what are you saying? What do you say about this? What are you saying to me about my daughter? What are you saying to me about us? What are you saying to me about this person? Tell me, Lord, tell me. And I wrote a blog about it that some of you may have read. And now over 2,000 people have read that blog. And what the devil meant for evil, I got an opportunity to speak the truth and speak the word of God. And people have read that. And so that's a little side note. Let's go back to Philip and the Ethiopian. This is the passage of scripture that he was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from this earth. This is a passage from Isaiah that this Ethiopian was reading. An incredible passage. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The Ethiopian was struggling with this. What does this mean? Who is he talking about? Who are these words describing? And in fact, the Ethiopian said, is he talking about himself? Is he talking about Isaiah? Is he talking about someone else? And this is a pivotal moment in this Ethiopian's life. What Philip is about to tell him changes everything. And what Philip tells him is going to change everything in your life as well. Philip began to illustrate to this Ethiopian the difference between words and the word. And when I say the word, I'm talking about all caps, T-H-E, the word, all caps. There's words, and then there's the word. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm glad you came today. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm glad you came to hear about the word. The word is what that passage, those words, were describing. Those words were describing the word. He's not talking about Isaiah. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about our Savior. He's talking about the Messiah. Now, if you're in here today and you're seeking justice in your life, something has happened to you that is wrong. You're a victim. You've suffered. You had a disadvantage. You would think that an all-knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent God, I mean, he's in all places at all times. He's never made a mistake. This God is all-powerful. You would think that this God would be unable to relate to a situation of great injustice. But the word says something else. The word is something else. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed and all who accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. That's John 1. I want you to let that word bring life to you today. All who believe and receive Him. We receive and we believe a lot of words that come into our life, but this is bringing us a whole new perspective. If we don't just receive and believe any lowercase word, but we believe and receive the uppercase word, Jesus, the Messiah, then we have right to become children of God. Philip told the Ethiopian that passage, and he said, you're talking about, you're reading about, you're understanding Jesus, the Messiah. And if you will believe and you will receive this word, all other words are subject to Him. Now that's awesome. If you receive the word, if you receive Jesus into your life, every other word that you hear the rest of your life has to be subject to the word. Whether it's false or it's true. Whether it's a lie or it's true and you don't want to hear it. Or it's true and you do want to hear it. Those words can be dangerous too because they puff us up and think that we're God. So whether they're good and we like it, or they're bad and we don't like it, or they're true, they're false altogether, every word has to be subject to Jesus, the Word, the Christ, the Creator, and we become children of God. This is amazing news because for the rest of your life, as long as you live, you're going to be receiving words. Words, 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 words. They're going to be coming at you every day. Every day. They come at us. And they can be so overwhelming. They can be so heavy. Oh. I mean, and seriously, 2020 has been bizarre. I mean, one thing after another. I mean, there was something like murder hornets or something like that. Did they actually, is that real? Is that factual? If there's murder hornets, if there's a killer coronavirus, when there is racism happening, when there is a diagnosis that you don't like, when you can't figure out if you're going to finish school or not, when you lose your job and don't have money to pay the rent, all these words, 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 words coming at us. We have to be able to take those words someplace. We have to have something to deal with the words that come at us. We need a solution. We need an answer. And I'm here to tell you today that the Word is our answer. Jesus Christ is our answer. And no matter what you come in contact with, He's got an answer. It's Him. I mean, I want to go back to that idea that you would think that an all-knowing, omnipotent God that's never made a mistake would be tough to go to if you had suffered injustice. But in reality, this all-knowing God, this perfect God, is not separated from suffering. In fact, what I read to you today is that God robed himself in flesh, came into the story as one of us, and suffered the most heinous murder and injustice that we could ever face. Rejected by everybody, mocked in front of public at the public square, beard plucked out, crown of thorns stuck on his head, physically spat in his face, and made him drag his execution tool throughout town, then laid him on that cross and put nails in his hands and his feet. He was bleeding. He had water and blood coming from him. They put him up on that cross. They stabbed him. He is murdered in front of everybody, and he did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. This is injustice. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He faced no justice. And while he's dying, he forgives the ones that are doing it to him. And then after he comes back to life, which is a phenomenal miracle, he doesn't go get justice then either, right? He doesn't go, okay, where were those soldiers? I'm gonna deal with them now that I conquered death. I'm gonna go find them. Where are those religious leaders that sentenced me to death? Where's Caiaphas? I'm gonna get you now. I'm gonna get justice. He didn't. I want us to take all the words that we receive, all the messages that we receive, and I want us to lay them at the feet of the one, the only one that can handle them. He's the only one that can handle the words that we hear. He's the only one that can give us the grace to make it. I love what Pastor Chris said earlier, that there's going to be a day when there's going to be no more tears, complete reconciliation. All the wrong that's happened is going to be undone. God's glory is going to be represented. There's going to be amazing things. We're not there. And there's so many reasons we can see that we're not there yet. So many examples. So when you are living out your life and you come across one of those examples of not living in the fullness of the restoration, where do we go? We're going to go to the Word. If you don't have people in your life that can help you deal with the Word, the words that you hear, I want to encourage you to start making connections at church, making connections at Promised Land. And we tell you about joining groups, and we tell you about praying with one another. We tell you about, you know, connecting or whatever. It's not just like so you can have some church habit or like check something off a box. That's because you need people in your life to help you with the bombarding words that come at you. We cannot do it by ourselves. We need each other. We need each other to help us to walk along the path. And you need people in your life that when they tell you the hard words, don't just solve it or fix it. Why did you believe that? I can't believe you believe that. But they will empathize with you for a little bit, and they'll cry with you a little bit, and they'll wrestle with it a little bit with you. And then you'll come together, understand that God is sovereign and God's still on the throne. Would you stand with me right now? I want us to end in prayer, and I'd love for everybody online today to join us right now as we close this service out. Our message today is this: we want the Word in our life. We want that Savior in our life. It says, the one who brought true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. That's my favorite Christmas passage of Jesus being born into this world. He was coming into the world. The light was coming to the very world he created because he wanted to make a difference. Many of us have situations in our life that we need a difference made. I'm not going to heal you with my charisma or my humor or my experience or my money. But we believe right now that the presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, can come and make a difference in every heart. Would you just bow your heads right now and close your eyes? Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to just come. be in this place. One of the powerful messages that we read all throughout the book of Acts is that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled in a way that was supernatural, was undeniable. There was evidence and signs, and it was powerful. And I'm believing that there's people right now in 2020 that need that type of experience with the Lord. We need something that is going to just heal our hearts. God, that we can have, if nothing else, just spiritual discernment, which is what the Bible calls one of the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual discernment. Lord, help us have your ears. When things come our way, help us have your ears. Help us have your eyes that we can see through your eyes. Lord, help us have your mind that we'll be able to understand what's happening. God, help us to have your heart that we would know, Lord, that it is so sensitive. We don't want anything to perpetrate. We don't want anything to contaminate. Lord, if there's anything in my life that I'm letting in right now that's not of you, convict me. Reveal it to me. Help me see it clearly. If it's a person, if it's a place, if it's a thing, if it's a source of any sort, show us, God. Reveal to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, in Jesus' name, help us, we pray. God, we pray you're going to be with us. Help us, guide us, lead us, and direct us this week as we go forth in a way that is beyond anything we could imagine or hope or dream possible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Come on, clap your hands with me right now. Amen. You may be seated, everybody that's in here, everybody that's online today, everybody watching online, we love you so much. God bless you. You are dismissed online. Everybody that's in the building today, if this is your first time back,